This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, today we bring our series called 40 Days in the Word to a close with a final look at what it means to not just be hearers of the Word, but also doers of the Word. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get the complete audio of this great series. Find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called Integrating God's Word into My Life.
Now, you want to build your life on the Word of God. Say, you know, I don't always agree with it. I don't always like it. It's not always convenient. It's not always politically correct. But if God said it, it's got to be true. So God, I'm going to build my life on the Bible. It is my final authority. This is my final authority for life. Now, after you start building on it, the second thing you have to do is you have to feed on it. You have to feed on the Bible to get the strength you need. Now, I've asked Pastor Buddy to come and share the next couple of points, okay?
The second way to integrate the Word of God into your life is to feed on it. Feed yourself on the Word of God. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is spiritual food. In fact, it uses several pictures. The Bible describes itself as the water, the milk, the bread, and the meat of the spiritual life. So it has everything that you're going to need for sustenance. But you have to be feeding yourself. You have to be eating something. Because just like you need physical food for physical strength, well, you've got to have spiritual food for spiritual strength. So you have to be feeding yourself constantly. All of the time. You know, if you were a construction director, okay, a contractor, would you want to send a guy out on your construction crew that hasn't eaten anything in 2 weeks? Or if you're a commander in the army, would you send a person into battle who hadn't had a meal in a month? Well, of course not. We need to be feeding ourselves so that we have strength to accomplish the tasks ahead of us. The Bible says that we are all building. And the Bible also says that we're all in spiritual warfare. And you're not going to have much success in building your life or in winning the spiritual battles that you face if you're starving yourself to death. So we need to be feeding ourselves on the Word of God. Now, one of the things that I have found is, unlike regular food, when I eat, when I feed on the Word, the more I eat, the hungrier I get. The more I taste to see how good the Lord is, the more of the sweetness of the honey of the Word, the milk of the Word, the hungrier that I get for it. Colossians 3:16, the Bible says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you. Let it move into you. Let it inhabit you. Take up residence in a rich, a profound, and a life-changing, and a life-giving way. That's what that verse is saying. So how do we feed ourselves on the Word of God to allow that to happen, so that God's Word is dwelling in us and building us up? Well, let me give you some things to write down. These are actually some review points from what Pastor Rick talked about just a few weeks ago. The first way that you can take the Word of God in is I can receive it with my ears. Write that down. I can receive it with my ears. That means I have to be hearing the Word of God. The Bible says faith comes through hearing the Word of God. So how do you hear it? Well, commit yourself to come to church. Listen to the Word of God being preached to you. Listen to it when it is read to you. When you're reading it off the screens, listen to the words that you're hearing. You can hear the Word of God. You can receive it by hearing it by listening to drive time devotions or listening to Christian teaching on MP3s or CDs in your car or on the radio. But to be hearing the Word of God. So we put it in through our ears. Of course, the problem with that, as most of us know, is we forget just about everything that we hear. In fact, I think the statistic is we forget about 95% of what we hear. If you're a male, you forget about 105% of everything that you hear. So you can't just let it go in one ear and out the other one. You have to do this second thing. The second way to feed on the Word of God is I read it with my eyes. So I hear it with my ears, but now I read it with my eyes. Why do you think God gave you this book? not just so you can put it on a shelf. Having a Bible in your house is not going to bless your life. You've got to have the Bible in your heart. You've got to take it in by reading the Word of God. So we read it with our eyes. But there again is the weakness that I find. Not only does truth go in one ear and out the other, for me very often, it goes in one eye and right back out the other one because I'm distracted. I'm not really paying attention. So there's a third way that we can feed on the Word of God, and that is that I research it. I research it with my hands and with my mouth. Now, what does that mean? It's talking about studying the Word of God. Remember, the difference between reading devotionally and studying the Bible is that when you study the Bible, you've got a pencil in your hand. You've got to be writing things down, writing down your thoughts, journaling what God is saying to you, studying the Scripture, getting one of those study Bibles that has notes in it. You read it, you study it with your hands by writing things down and documenting your thoughts and observations. But you also do it with your mouth by talking to other believers. That's what small group life is about. We feed ourselves by feeding one another of the truth that God is speaking to us out of His Word. So we research it with our hands and our mouth by writing it out and by talking it out to say, hey, you know, God, I've been reading this passage and God has been speaking to me about this. Have you ever read this before? What has He said to you in this passage? That's why our small group life is so important. A fourth way to feed yourself on the Word is I can reflect on it with my mind. I reflect on it with my mind. I don't just read it, maybe talk about it, and then go on as though nothing had happened. But I spend time meditating on the Word of God. That's what 40 Days in the Word has been all about, giving us different ways to meditate, to reflect on the Word of God, to think about it, to chew on it, to discuss it with ourselves, talking about it. Any of you ever talk to yourself? Raise your hand if you have never talked to yourself. Okay, so we're all a little nuts, right? Talk to yourself about what God has said to you. Talk to yourself about it throughout the day. That's a way to reflect on it, to be thinking over and over all through the day about what the Lord might have said to you in His Word. And then a fifth way I can feed myself is I remember it with my heart. I remember it with my heart. Now, there's a difference between remembering with your mind and with your heart. This is talking about memorizing Scripture. And I'm going to get into that in just a minute. But I want to show you a picture first. I want to show you a picture of what it is like, what it can look like, to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. See, I can receive the Word of God with my ears. I have here a cup of water and a tea bag. The cup represents your soul, and the tea bag is the Scripture. It doesn't have to be five chapters. It doesn't have to be a whole book. It might just be a paragraph. Some days it's only a phrase of Scripture. But if I receive it with my ears, it's like dipping the tea bag in one time. It doesn't really do very much to the water, does it? But if I come back and I begin to read it with my eyes, and I begin to research it, to study it, to take notes, to write down things about it, to start to talk to other people about what the Word of God says, and then I start to reflect on it, I meditate on the Word, reading it over and over and over, putting myself into the story, emphasizing different words in different ways, asking it questions, probing it with questions, paraphrasing it, putting it in my own words, saying, Lord, I hear you saying this. Is this what you're trying to say through your Word? That's what it means to reflect on it with your mind and memorizing it, remembering it, coming back to it over and over again. Something starts to happen to my soul, just like something is now happening in this water, because the water is absorbing the color and the flavor and the aroma and the character of the tea. That's what it's like to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Not poorly, but richly. You begin to absorb what it really is saying when you do these things. But now, why does God want us to do this? Well, that brings us to the next point. Not only are we to feed on it, I want you to write this down. We integrate the Word into our lives when we live by it. You've got to live by the Word of God. The Word of God is not only food for your soul, the Word of God is your standard of living. It is the Word of God that sets the standard by which you judge everything else of value in your life. It's the standard by which you make decisions for the things that you are facing in life. You've got to build your life on something. You've got to base those decisions on something. And it comes when we allow the Word of God to become the standard by which we live. The Bible says in Psalm 1, blessed is the one, the man, the woman, who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but who meditates on the Word of God. What does that mean? It means if you want your life to be blessed, you don't build your life on the counsel of the world, on the way the world thinks. But you meditate, you build your life on the way that God thinks. The counsel of the ungodly, that's the stuff that we hear all the time on television, in movies, in print media. It's the talk that goes on around the world around us. It's the values of the world. And the Bible says if you want your life to be blessed, you don't build your life, you don't live your life by that kind of counsel, but live your life, build your life, feed your life on the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that will give you hope when you're in crisis. It's the Word of God that will give you comfort when you are in despair. It's the Word of God that will give you strength when you are weak. It's the Word of God that will give you wisdom when you're confused. It's the Word of God that will give you guidance when you're looking for direction. And it's the Word of God that will give you strength to resist, to fight against temptation. Look at this next verse in your outline, Psalm 119:11. The Bible says, I've hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. He says, this is the reason I've hidden your word. That's what memorizing the Bible is about. It's about hiding it, taking it into my heart. He says, I've hidden your word in my heart, not so that I can just be a goody-two-shoes little Christian, but it's so that I will not sin against you. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted, there were three times the devil came and tempted him, and all three times, Jesus only used one weapon to defend himself. He said, yeah, but it's written. And the devil would tempt him again, and he would say, yeah, but it's written. It is written. It was the only weapon he used to defend himself. If you want to be like Christ, you've got to defend yourself the way he did. Now, so often, when we most need the Bible is when we don't have a Bible with us, when we're talking to a friend who's in trouble, or when we're tempted by something. We don't have our Bible with us. That's why we have to hide the Word of God in our hearts. God will bring the Word back to your mind, but he can't bring it back to your mind if you hadn't hidden it in your heart yet. He'll bring the Word back to your mind for yourself, for what you're facing, and he'll bring it back to your mind for what some friend of yours is facing, some challenge that they're up against. And you can say, you know, but here's what God's Word says. And a verse that you've memorized will come back to you. And you'll be able to share that to help them as they build their life, to help them in their walk with Jesus Christ. That's why God wants us to remember the Word with our hearts, to put it in, to memorize it, and then to let that be the standard by which we live our lives, by which we build our lives and fight the good fight of faith. I want to bring us back to this picture of this tea one more time. You see what's happened in just the last couple of minutes as I've been talking. As I said, this water has absorbed the color and the flavor and the aroma and the character of the tea. But something else has happened to this water. It's taken on a whole new identity because we no longer call this a glass of water. We now call it a glass of tea. When you let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, you absorb the nature of Christ, the flavor and the aroma of Christ. But something else happens to you. You take on a whole new identity, and you begin to become the man or woman of God that he has always wanted you to become. You begin to become the man or woman of God that you have always wanted to be. When you let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, not only do you know what the Word of God says, you begin to become more and more like the author. Now, Pastor Rick is going to come and share with us the fourth way to integrate the Word of God into our lives.
To become a woman of the Word, or to become a man of the Word, you got to first make the Bible your foundation and you build on it. Then you got to make the Bible your food and you eat it. And then the third metaphor is you make it your lifestyle in which you're going to live by. You make it your standard in which you live by. The fourth thing you do is you make it the seed that you grow through. Okay, this is the fourth metaphor. How do I integrate God's word? I grow through it. Now, I told you a couple weeks ago that the Bible is often referred to as a seed, and it's planted in your heart. And when the truth is planted in your heart, if it finds good soil, it grows and it produces fruit. Remember last week? No root, no fruit. And fruit, God wants you to be fruitful in your life. In order to have that, you've got to have an open heart. You've got to have a receptive heart. You've got to have good soil in your life. Now, the fourth verse that we looked at, that we memorized earlier this month, Psalm 119, 18. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. There's a lot of wonderful things in the Bible, but you can't see unless God opens your eyes. Circle the word open. That means being receptive. I've got to be open to the Word of God. So if I'm going to become a woman of the Word or a man of the Word, I've got to be open to it. That means, even as I said earlier, even when I don't like it, okay, at least, Lord, I'm open to it. I'm going to listen to it. Now, Jesus told a whole story about this. It's in Luke chapter 8. It's called the Parable of the Soils. And he says, a farmer goes out and sows seed, and it falls on four different kinds of soil, and it gets four different kinds of results. And he says, this represents four different attitudes you can have toward the Bible. Now, I used to think that these four soils represent four different kinds of people. They don't. It represents four attitudes, and on the same day, I could have all four attitudes. Okay, the first is the hardened soil, and the hardened soil represents a closed mind. The hardened soil in this story represents a closed mind. Sometimes we don't ever even give God a chance to talk to us. Our minds are made up. Our hearts are hardened. We're unwilling to listen. I don't want to hear what God has to say about my boyfriend. I like my boyfriend. So I don't want to hear what God has. I don't want to hear what God has to say about my debt. I don't want to hear what God has to say about sex. I don't want to hear what God has to say about this or that, because I've already got my mind made up. That is a closed mind. And a narrow footpath is narrow, and it's hardened. And that's the way a lot of people's minds are. They're narrow-minded and they're hard-minded. They're not open. They really aren't open to learning new things. And so the first action is I must cultivate an open mind. Cultivate an open mind. If I'm going to let God's truth really change my life, I just got to be open to it. I got to have a cultivate an open mind. Then Jesus said, now the second kind of soil that the farmer throws seed on is what he calls the shallow soil. And that represents the superficial mind. The superficial mind. You know, sometimes we react superficially to the Bible. We go to a church, we go, man, that was a good sermon. I really liked that. Or, that was good. But we've forgotten it by the time we get to the parking lot. We get excited, we react emotionally, we're moved impulsively, but we don't really let it take the time to sink in. It never really penetrates the bedrock of our personality. And so what is the action step? If I don't want to be superficial, and I know you don't want to be a superficial man, you don't want to be a superficial woman, how do I have some depth in my life? How do I get some roots in my life? How do I get some spiritual maturity in my life? Well, here's the second action step. I must make time for God's word. If I just spend, you know, do a quick little glance at it once a day, I glance at it, I don't gaze at it, I don't give it any time, then I can't build any roots. Roots take time to develop. And no roots, no fruits. Busyness is a major barrier that keeps you from being a man of the word or a woman of the word. Now, a third soil is the soil with weeds. And the soil with weeds represents a preoccupied mind. In other words, the seed, God gives a truth, and he plants it in my mind, in my heart, and I go, yeah, okay, and I let it sit there, and it starts growing, but then I let other things choke it out of my life, worry, and busyness, and money, and job, and all these other things, and the weeds choke it out, and I get preoccupied, and I can't really do anything with it. All the circuits are busy in my life, so that's why I can't hear God. What's the action step? I must eliminate the distractions. I must eliminate the distractions in my life. Now, I'm honestly convinced, after pastoring for 32 years, that the big sin of Christians, it's not immorality, it's not some evil, wicked, mean, bad, nasty thing. The big sin of you and me is we're too busy. We're too busy. And because we fill our lives with things that really aren't that important, then we don't have time for what's most important. Then finally, Jesus says, there's a fourth kind of soil. That's the good soil where the seed of truth gets planted in your brain, in your heart, and it really is allowed to grow and develop, and it gets roots, and then it gets fruit. And this is a willing mind. And a willing mind says, God, I'm willing to learn. I'm teachable. I'm humble. I'm teachable. I don't think I know it all, so God, teach me. And the action step is to cooperate with what God says. That leads us to the fifth action step. If I want to be a woman of the word, if I want to be a man of the word, I got to build on it, I got to feed on it, I got to live by it, I've got to grow through it. Number five, I've got to act on it. Act on it. And the fifth Bible verse that we've memorized during these 6 weeks together is James 1:22. James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. If all I do is I go to church and it's going in one ear and out the other, I listen to it, I am living in a life of self-deception. I think because I've written notes down, I've got it. No, I don't have it. I only have it. You only believe the parts of the Bible you actually do. Finally, there's one last thing I need to do with the Word of God if I'm going to become that person that has an integrated life of integrity, and that is I must trust in it. I build on it. I feed on it. I live by it. I grow through it. I act on it, and I then live it out by trusting in it. Now, why can I trust the Bible? We did a whole session on that. God is never going to guide you in the wrong direction. Other people will, even well-meaning people. I've had dear friends give me advice, and it was the wrong advice. You've had friends who loved you deeply and gave you advice, but it was the wrong advice. Even well-meaning people often will steer you in the wrong way. God will never do that. You can always trust him. If he tells you go that way, you better go that way, because it's always going to be the right way. It's going to be the best way. It's going to cause a whole lot less problems if you do that. Psalm 119:105 is our memory verse for this week. This is the one I want you to work on. Your word is a lamp for my feet, to my feet, and a light for my path. I call this the flashlight verse of the Bible. Your word is a lamp to my feet. It's like a flashlight showing me so I don't stub my toe at night, and a light for my path. Are you ever in the dark? Yeah, all the time. Some of you go, I haven't the slightest idea what I'm supposed to do about this relationship I'm in right now. I haven't the slightest idea whether I should accept this job offer. I haven't the slightest idea where I should invest next, what I should do with the next 5 years of my life. I'm confused. No, you're in the dark. What do you do when you're in the dark? You flip on a light. This is why you need to memorize this verse, because it's a promise from God. And the next time you're in the dark and you're confused and you don't know which way to turn and you don't know what to do and how to go or what to do or all of that, you just go, God, you have said in Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God, keep your promise. I'm going to start reading your word. Show me what you want me to do. And you start reading and you start meditating. You start doing those five things Buddy was talking about. And if you go to the word and you say, Lord, I'm trusting that your word will be a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. In other words, you're going to show me the path to walk on. You're going to lead me in the dark when I'm confused and I don't know what to do about this relationship. But you promised, and I am going to trust in your word. You will see amazing thing happen. Let's bow our heads. Father, I want to thank you for the word of God. I thank you that it calms our fears, it enlightens our mind, it strengthens our will, it grows our maturity. I thank you, Lord, that it calms our worries and it leads us in the dark. Oh, all of the things that your word does, we want to commit to being a part of an ongoing process of continuing in your word.
If you've never invited Jesus Christ in your life, say, Jesus Christ, I don't understand it all, but I open my life to you. And I want to start that journey. I want to get to know you. And I want to know your purpose for my life. In your name I pray. Amen.
If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord, and you need to tell somebody. And why don't you tell me? Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so thankful you've chosen to spend some time with us. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time today. But first, if you love what you're hearing and you don't want to miss any part of this series, then contact us right away to get your own copy. The 40 Days in the Word Complete Audio Series by Pastor Rick Warren is perfect for your personal audio library and sharing with friends and family. You have your choice of a CD, high-quality MP3s, or a flash drive. We'll send you this great audio series as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. This collection includes 7 complete commercial-free messages from Pastor Rick Warren that are sure to be a blessing to you and your loved ones. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. If you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Today is the last day to get this awesome study tool, so contact us right away. And now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
God has 5 purposes for your life. He wants you to know and love Him. That's called worship. He wants you to belong to His family. That's called fellowship. He wants you to grow in character, to be more like Christ. That's called discipleship. And He wants you to learn to serve using your gifts and talents. Serve God by serving others. That's called your ministry. Finally, He wants you to share the good news and your life message with other people around the world. That's called your mission. I'd like to close today to talk to you for just a second about your personal mission. Did you know that the Bible says every time somebody accepts the Lord, they throw a party in heaven? Did you know that? It's right there in Luke 15, verse 7, where the Bible says there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who changes his heart and life than over 99 who don't need to turn to Christ, who are already there. The day that you accepted Jesus Christ, there was a party in heaven for you. And by the way, the day that you help somebody else come to know the Lord, there's going to be a party in heaven, but there's also going to be a party in your heart. I want to encourage you today to look outward, to look around you and see the people who need to hear about the love of God, about the message of Christ, about the purpose of life, about the daily hope that we have in our hearts. The Bible says, always be ready to share the hope that is within you. Could I pray for you? And as we bow in prayer, you might want to pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, I want the joy that you've given me to be shared with other people. And a lot of times I'm afraid or hesitant to talk about you to others. Would you give me so much love for other people that the love overcomes my fears and gives me the right words to say as I share the hope that's in me? Allow me to help others find you, to find real hope, to find joy through knowing you. Thank you, Lord, so much for trusting me to help bring others to you. I want to accept my mission, and I want to use it for your glory and in the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Put somebody in my life today that I can tell about you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.